It almost struck a bolted figure, hurrying over the ground, harshly lit from behind by the lights of Gunnell's fetch, bent under a heavy burden, light blue. The dead body of the geometer, forgotten and abandoned in the back of Gunnell's fetch. The man bent under it was headed straight for the only aircraft still on the ground. Arms were reaching out from the door. The runner put on a last mighty effort, planted both feet in the dust below the aircraft, and gave a mighty leg thrust to hurl the geometer's body upward. Hands grasped it and hauled it aboard. The soldier in the doorway showed his teeth as he screamed something into his microphone. The aircraft rose, leaving behind the man who had delivered the dead geometer. I forced myself to look at him and saw what I had expected and dreaded. It was Orlo, alone before the gates of Orathena. We had enough altitude now that I could look over the walls and buildings of the Consent and up the slope to see what was coming. It looked very much as Fra Heligastrium had described it to us from ancient texts. Heavy as stone, fluid as water, hot as a forge. And now that it had fallen several thousand feet down a mountain, fast as a bullet train.
No!
I screamed.
We have to go back!
Not that anyone could hear me, but a soldier behind me read my face, saw my eyes swing toward the cockpit. He calmly raised his sidearm and planted its muzzle in the center of my forehead. My next thought was, do I have the guts to jump out so that Orlo could have my place? But I knew that they would not set down again to pick him up. There was no time. Orlo was looking about curiously. He seemed almost bored. He sidestepped to a position where he could get a clear view uphill through the open gates and see what was headed for him. That, I think, gave him a sense of how many more seconds he had. He picked up a trenching tool that had been discarded and used its handle to slash an arc into the loose soil. He turned again and again, joining one arc to another, until he had completed the graceful, never-ending curve of the analemma. Then he tossed the tool aside and stood on the center, facing his fate. The buildings of the Consent imploded before the glowing cloud even reached them, for the avalanche was pushing an invisible pressure wave before it. Destruction washed across the full width of the Consent in a few seconds and slammed into the walls from the backside. The walls bulged, cracked, shed a few blocks, but held, until the glowing cloud hit them with its full force. Then they went down like a sandcastle struck by a wave.
No!
I screamed one more time as Orlo withered under the pressure wave. He flopped to the ground like a hank of rope. For a moment, smoke shrouded him, radiant heat shining out as a harbinger of the glowing cloud. Our aircraft rocked and skidded sideways on hard air. The cloud erupted from the gates, vaulted over the rubble of the wall, and fell on Orlo. For a fraction of a second, he was a blossom of yellow flame in the stream of light. And then he was one with it. All that remained of what he had been was a wisp of steam coiling above the torrent of fire.